All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 12i, contending for the faith. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That war is going on today, my friends, and many of you see this, especially with, and it's not just the latest Supreme Court ruling in support or mandating that all 50 states accept homosexual marriage. I mean, think about this for a second. For thousands of years, Western Christian civilization has rejected homosexual marriage. And it hasn't been until just recently, in the last decade or decades, that it is now accepted. So are we to say that for thousands of years, our ancestors, our grandparents and their grandparents, are we to say that they were just stupid, ignorant bigots? Because that's what people are calling us today. So now we are so righteous today, the new liberal majority, they're so righteous to know that that they're right. And the people who built this country were evil haters. Think about that for a minute. These two things, my friends, are what the true servants of God keep throughout every generation, especially in these last days. The commandments of God, that is, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and so on. All of the commandments of God, the moral law of God. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not just one or the other. We have to stand up for both of them. We can't just say, oh, just believe in Jesus. Jesus is just about love and forgiveness. Yes, he is. But he's about forgiving repentant sinners. Not rebellious people trying to justify their sin, and people who are trying to throw it in his face. The commandments of God. My friend, if you're a true Christian, you will stand up for them. I have to say this because there are so many Christians today that totally ignore the commandments of God. And they just say, you know, Jesus was just about love. All we do is teach love. Love and acceptance and equality. But never teaching obedience to God, his ways and his laws. Let me give you an example of this. You know, I was a fan of this man. His songs, you know, really could touch the heartstrings, because they were so true to biblical principles. For the most part, I guess I'd have to re-listen to him now that I've become alarmed to this man. This man was responsible for much of modern day, they say that he revolutionized modern day gospel music. And his name is Don Francisco. He says, for four decades, one message: God loves people, and that includes you. Well, that is true. That's a true statement. God will forgive a repentant sinner. But that doesn't mean, as we're going to see here, he and his wife, that doesn't mean we ignore God's law and belittle it. And you're going to see what I mean here in a minute. I'm going to read a quote from him on June 28th. 11:31 a.m. from his Facebook page. He says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Answer, they can rebuild them." Well, at first glance, this looks like a very truthful statement, one that many of us, Bible thumpers, is what people like to call us these days because we actually believe the Bible. That's something we would say, but look, follow along here. Watch what he says. The foundations have been destroyed. Now, I'm going to tell you what the foundations are. The foundations are God's law. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Yeah, there are times we are supposed to revere him, and that means to love and respect, but it does also mean to fear the consequences of our actions. Because if we don't, then we have no respect for God. He says the foundations have been destroyed, but not in the simplistic way most of Western Christianity imagines. It has taken centuries of knee-jerk defensiveness, blind acceptance, and willful ignorance to reach our present state of ruin. We have become idolaters, and we worship, now check this out, and we worship the Bible. Why in the world would a Christian make such a statement? It's idolatry to worship the Bible? When Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, it says he in the beginning was the Word, and the Word created all things, and the Word became flesh. That living Word lived on throughout the Old Testament through the prophets. When Isaiah spoke, when Jeremiah spoke, and all the rest of them, that was Jesus Christ speaking through them. But yet, in this post and others, he's going to question whether or not anything other than Christ's teachings were the living Word. In fact, he even doubts those because Christ taught many things that this man and others on his page have mocked. So he's accusing Bible believers as being idolaters. We have become idolaters and we worship the Bible, calling it infallible and inerrant. We have exalted it to a place between humankind and God. Paradoxically, we have made the Bible an antichrist. Think about that for a minute. That's blasphemy. And here he goes. He goes, "Those are hard words, but we must hear them. In our foolish attempts to defend the faith, we have turned the scriptures into a solid piece of cement and blocked the doorway to life with it. The word of God is perfect, infallible, and inerrant, and by the age of 18, he had grown a beard." So what he's trying to say is that only Jesus Christ in the New Testament was the word of God. When John tells us that the word of God lived in the prophets. And that he became flesh. Not that it didn't exist until Christ was born. The word of God is perfect and fabulous. Okay, by the age of 18, he had grown a beard. Okay, that's what he's trying to say. In other words, he's trying to say the Old Testament, as well as even the book of Revelation, is not really the word of God. In a sly way, the Bible is many wonderful things, but it is not the word of God. Only the Father's beloved Son is. Do you see what he just said here? Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because many Christians, so-called Christians, have fallen into this trap. Oh, sure, yeah, when you get down to it, there have been minor scribal errors in the Old Testament and even in the New. But that's not the point he's trying to make here. In fact, it's hard to even understand what his point is. Well, I know what his point is. Perhaps we'll get that to that in a little bit here. It says, when that living word is redefined by men as words on a page, they murder the prophets of every age, from Adam down to the present, blocking the Holy Spirit from their own hearts as they deny his voice can be heard in anyone else's. And his voice is heard by anyone who will listen. Don, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say you're a modern-day prophet? Are you trying to say that God speaks through you different things than was spoken through the prophets, Don? Before the foundations can be rebuilt, the rubble must be removed. The rubble, what's that? The Word of God? The Old Testament? The writings of Paul? The writings of Peter? The writings of James? The writings of John? What are you talking about, Don? All right, before the foundations can be rebuilt, the rubble must be removed. The lies, misconceptions, and half-truths, and the unstable, dangerous, and hurtful structures that are built on them, the first step is exposing the rubble for what it is. And I'll tell you what, I'm pointing this out because this is the stage we are at today. Don Francisco is moving in step, whether he sees it or knows it or not, with the enemy's plan to remove Christianity, biblical Christianity, and replace it with something else. So then a couple days later here, the next day, he says, many have asked, or maybe immediately supposed that, yesterday's post was connected to the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. I'm going to add here, I'm pointing out some of these things, and then we're going to get to the book of Jude. And Jude is going to warn us about Christians who support homosexual marriage. I should say so-called Christians who support homosexual marriage. And it is going to be a strong warning against them, a scathing rebuke. You know, all throughout, and before I finish reading this, I might as well say this now, all throughout the Old Testament, as well as even to the Apostle John and John the Baptist and the Apostles, they were hated for telling the truth. Most of them were murdered. The world does not want to hear the truth. In fact, all of the prophets, you know, that we revere now, we don't revere them, we just, you know, we revere the words that God spoke through them. But they went to their leaders and told them the truth. They rebuked them. Yes, they went to the politicians of the day. They went to the religious leaders of the day. They went to the common person. And you know what? You know what was one thing in common with all of them? They hated them. They hated them for telling the truth. They told them to sit down and shut up and stop telling us what God says. Do you see anything different than what's going on today? We have people, Christians, non-Christians, they're both telling us to sit down and shut up and mind your own business. I tell you what, I will never sit down and shut up to this world, because my God is King. His kingdom reigns for eternity. So why would I sit down and shut up for you? When your days are numbered, my friends, you who support this anti-Christian New World Order, we're moving into a time where we have to make a stand and fight. We need to contend for the faith. This is not a time to be passive. We're not just trying to convert everybody, especially now. Now that I truly believe this, that the line is being drawn in the sand. Sure, we'd like to grab converts, but you know what? As we get into these end days more and more, God's going to be trying to convert people. By sending them some plagues. Because evidently, the soft way, the gentle way, doesn't work for everybody. In other words, the time will be up. Christians have to get out of that mindset of, oh, just sit back and just, you know, let everybody run over us. We defeat them. They don't defeat us. All right. So he says, many have asked, or maybe immediately supposed that, and I'm going to show you why people would, and I think he's lying here. Yesterday's post was connected to the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. It was not. I'd originally planned on running it up the flagpole on Independence Day, but went ahead anyway when I finished it. That's all. The timing was coincidental. Baloney. I'm going to show you why in a second. I love the scriptures. Anyone who's heard my songs knows that. And I shouldn't even have to say that. God speaks to me through them constantly. The Bible is the most wonderful book in the world. Those who have given their lives to preserve it and translate it didn't die in vain. For without them, we wouldn't know that God came to earth and lived as one of us, died on the cross to show us his love and forgiveness, and rose from the dead to take away our fears. And those are just the main points. My problems begin with those who would try to make this book into a god. There is only one foundation, Jesus Christ. And anyone who attempts to build on another one will be using an unstable and deadly cornerstone. I understand those of you who have drunk the Kool-Aid, believed in the inerrancy, infallibility thing because you've been taught to believe it. I used to be one of you. But it's time to arise from among the dead and believe the gospel. For those of you who intentionally use this doctrine to control others, may God have mercy on your soul. May you soon travel the Damascus Road as Paul did. All right, totally twisting this. Now, did Paul ever say that God's law is done away with? No, he said he upholds he upholds the law. And that's a whole other topic for another time. But this man's trying to tell us that the words of God spoken in the Old Testament are not the foundation. When the Logos, or the living word, lived in the Old Testament, those were the words of God. And to call those of us who believe that they are true as Kool-Aid drinkers and idolaters, may God have mercy on your soul, Don Francisco, for misleading people into the great apostasy. And I'm going to show you why. See, you see here, this is on June 29th. And let me see here. I'm going to go back to June 27th from his wife, Wendy Francisco. Now, okay, so let me just check the dates there. June 29th, 2 days beforehand, Wendy Francisco says this. I'd rather stand before God as a gay than as an evangelical. Unfortunately, I will stand before him as an evangelical. Rats. Hope I can get most of my white paint off before then. For those of you with a little wisdom, this woman claims to be of the tribe of Judah. But I believe that's questionable because of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And I think perhaps Don's been listening to a little bit too much of her advice throughout the years. And he went from a good successful gospel singer to this, to the stuff he's saying lately. Anyways, so she says this 2 days beforehand, ripping on Bible-believing Christians because they stand against the homosexual movement. And then Don, 2 days later, says, oh, it was coincidental. I didn't post that on that day. Baloney, you're lying to us. I don't trust anything you say. You knew full well that your posts were motivated because you didn't like Bible-believing Christians standing up and saying no to homosexual marriage. Because you didn't feel that was loving. Because you've redefined for yourself what love is. Based off of however you feel, the Christ within you is telling you. My friend, you got to check yourself out spiritually. Because you got something lying to you. All right, Wendy Francisco. From what I can see, here's another thing she says. The new Christian theology is to focus on people's sins and call them out. Isn't that what the prophets did? We're not talking about calling out individual people's sins and saying, well, Susie did this and I'm better than her. We're talking about standing up for, what did we read in the beginning? The commandments of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ. While these two clowns, are attacking us for doing that. Just like they did the prophets. For what? Telling the truth. For convicting the nation of its sins. So what Wendy and Don are trying to tell us, again, what a lot of our so-called Christian friends with rainbow flags over their profiles are trying to tell us, they're trying to tell us to sit down and shut up. We're done listening to you Bible believers. We've moved on past that. We're moving into a new era. You know, it's a new religion, really. Soon, now mark my words, because it's written in God's word. Soon these Christians that are on this fringe here that still are flying under the banner of Christianity, yet they're doubting the validity of the Bible as being God's word. When the Antichrist comes, they're going to dump everything. They already have but the name. But I truly believe they will denounce the name of Jesus Christ. And they will accept the false Christ. It will happen. Let me continue on. We got a lot of verses to read in Jude, so I better get going here. But she says, from what I can see, the new Christian theology is to focus on people's sins and call them out. This is like an addiction of self-justification and scapegoating, and it is closing the doors faster than anything I have ever seen. I do not acknowledge this as Christian in any way, shape, or form, but call it for what it is. Eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What? Teaching God's word the same way or following the example of the prophets and going to our kings, our leaders, and the people and telling them that this is wrong, that's eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Mark these two people, my friends. Look, if you're a diligent researcher, look at the books that they recommend. Read them, and you'll see what's happening to the Christian church today. You'll see the spirit of Antichrist, that serpent. As sly as he is, you see how he's weaving or encircling our churches to the point they're not Christians anymore. And I believe people who do it are not renewed or born again, nor do they have a clue who the real God is. My heart is breaking as I see this come into fruition since its horrible beginnings with the so-called moral majority in the 80s. Dear brother of the prodigal, you are more lost than your brother. What the heck does this even mean? Well, coming from a viper, I wouldn't expect anything different. Poor Don. Poor Donald. All right, here was my response to Don. I said, Don, you say those of us who believe Jesus Christ was the living word in both the Old Testament are Kool-Aid drinkers? It rather seems you've swallowed the poison venom of the serpent, and now you're preaching a Jesus carved with your own imagination. You're the idolater here, not us. Of course, many of us share the same frustration with so many legalistic churches misrepresenting the love of Christ. But now you've overreacted and have gone to the other extreme, redefining for yourself what the love of Christ is and what it isn't. I could quote hundreds of verses to pull apart the things you and Wendy have written over the last couple of days, but you can now conveniently dismiss them as not really being the Word of God. Wonderful thing to be able to be your own God, I guess. Seems very much like the lie that Eve bought into long ago. It's so sad to see such a gifted gospel singer fall away into this type of apostasy. I'll keep you and Wendy in my prayers. All right. Continuing on, I got one more point to make here. Then we'll get into the scriptures. Wendy Francisco on June 30th says, I love the way Ken Nichols puts this. I do. Yep, it's time to say what must be said. Kudos to Don for putting his reputation and his livelihood, he's a Christian singer, on the line by boldly posting about this subject. I've always loved his music since I was a teenager. His messages rang true and his songs and his words ring true today. We, the Western Church as a whole, have largely abandoned the Spirit's voice in our lives for a flat, literal reading of the Scriptures and call that the truth. This is not what Jesus intended for us. We have raised up a false god by elevating canonized scripture. Wait a second. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, did he not quote from the scriptures? Did he not tell his disciples after he had risen from the dead? Or did he not teach from them? Did he not teach the disciples the scriptures that foretold of his death and resurrection? You see, you can catch their lies right away here. We have raised up a false god by elevating canonized scripture that was created good, well, it's just, you know, and is very useful and precious, and using it to keep people away from the healing truth they need to hear by beating them over the head with moral codes we cherry-pick from, just like the Pharisees did in Jesus' time. We need to repent and start listening. Now, listen closely. We need to repent and start listening to the Christ within. That's New Age mysticism, my friend. That is the movement of the Antichrist. They talk about this all the time, about the Christ within. These are the people running your churches today, America. They're not the people that stand for the word of, or the commandments of God and the testimony, the true testimony of Jesus Christ. These people are preaching to listen to your own heart, your own feelings, your own little tickle on your back. I'm going to read this again. We need to repent and start listening to the Christ within rather than sticking our nose in a book that we use to judge the world rather than using it to point people to Christ, the living word, the great healer of our souls. That cannot be any more blasphemous and false. All right, I guess I have one more slide here. Jim Rogers. Notice this guy's I assume he claims he's to be a Christian. He's got the rainbow flag on there. He says, I have a question to all who would fight for inerrancy. What is your God like? Is he loving and judgmental? Does he condemn the wicked to eternal flames and is just in his torture? Does he judge the earth with storms of destruction of various types? Is he like Jesus was, but he will commission Jesus to destroy the earth with all the unfaithful inhabitants in the end? Just wondering if inerrancy gives you a God that looks anything like the Prince of Peace, who, when he was tortured and nailed to a tree, said, Father, forgive them. And when God raised him up from the dead, he spoke shalom to the human race. Is that all he spoke, Jim, in the Gospels? Did he not speak of the judgment that was to come? Did he not talk about the gathering of the tares that were to be burned in the fire? Did he not talk about those who say they are, who claim to be followers of his, and he says, get out of my sight, I never knew you. Away with you into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Or, Jim, do you just not like to accept that part? Moreover, here's the point. I said, do you believe the book of I responded to Jim's comment here. I said, do you believe the book of Revelation to be the true revelation of Jesus Christ? It speaks of the judgments you're mocking. And he says, if you take away or add to that book, that you will be erased from the book of life. If you're comfortable with that, then good luck to you. Because the book of Revelation speaks of God's judgment. In fact, it's centered around the Supreme Court of the entire universe, of the heavens and the earth. It's about judgment. It's about when Jesus comes back in judgment. Yeah, he came the first time to die for us and to forgive sin. But the next time he comes back, it is for judgment. And you know what? He's mad as hell. And judgment starts with you, Jim, you, Wendy, you, Don, and you, Ken, and others like you. I'm going to read to you what Ken Nichols says. He says, and here is why it was argued greatly that Revelation should not be included in the canon. In the Bible, in other words, because of all error that could be wrongly interpreted from it. The truth is, we don't have a clue what most of Revelation means. I do, Ken. And many of our listeners do, and many people from other ministries do. Is it difficult at times to understand? Yes. But when you understand it, it's plain and it's simple. The truth is, we don't have a clue what most of Revelation means, but it's more likely that it was referencing stuff that was going to happen in their own time rather than stuff to happen thousands of years in the future. Much of Revelation can be applied to the first century events, nations, and people. We want it to be about us, but the truth is, we don't know. To build and dogmatically hold to any theology based on Revelations is foolish. Can you believe that? The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Ken here is calling it foolishness. My friends, I point out these examples again because these people, these people are running your churches. Now, I'm going to skip back here because I don't know if I posted this picture yet. And I skipped it. I was going to talk about it, but we're going to do it here right now. And then we'll get into the scriptures. All right. Look at these people. They're at a gay pride parade. Supposedly, this is a pastor and this is his wife. And this was their first gay pride parade that they attended. And this is the banner they carried with them. As a Christian, I am sorry for the narrow-minded, judgmental, deceptive, manipulative actions of those who denied rights and equality to so many in the name of God. Whose rights? When did God give rights to homosexuals? When did he say it was their right to commit sodomy? Tell me, you as a Christian, you Christian pastor, you pastor's wife with the big phony smile on, you guys are a bunch of frauds. And you're the reason why Christ's kingdom is suffering here on earth. You're misrepresenting Christ. You're going against his commandments and his teachings. So you're calling Jesus narrow-minded, judgmental, deceptive, and manipulative. You're antichrist, my friends. My so-called fellow Christians. These two faces. I tell you what, when I go into churches today to visit, oftentimes I see these two phony smiles on hundreds of different people. Oh yeah, we're just loving everybody, accepting, because that's what Jesus would do. Is that what he would do? Have you ever read the Bible? Are we not to bear his cross rather than apologize for the word of God? Or you so-called Christians here, was there some addendum in the back of the Bible that I missed reading that said something like, oh, by the way, everything you read from Genesis to Revelation, just ignore that and listen to the Christ within. Go by your feelings. Submit to the world. Be accepted of them. And you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. Did I miss something somewhere? And some might be thinking, well, Pastor Ben, you're being a little sarcastic and a little hard. Well, it's time we be a little hard on these phonies. In fact, Christ went into the temple and took a whip to these types of people. I have no doubt they're doing this for money. There's a big market, and if you're a Christian pastor today, there's a big market in supporting homosexuality. Didn't you know that? There always is when you go with the flow. Money will come pouring in. So you can build your big fancy buildings and have all your, you know, pretty looking programs. You know, I read a study the other day that a friend of mine on Facebook shared with me. And they found out that 90% of Christian pastors know. They know what the Bible says about current events such as what's going on now with the homosexual push. They know what it says, but they refuse to speak about it because they don't want to lose their members in their congregation. They don't want to lose their money. And they want to be able to build their big fancy buildings with their little coffee shops in them. Funny how many true ministries seem to run on very few resources. In fact, it would be very hard for many of us to get out the word if it wasn't for technology these days. But yet, all these false churches, practically on, I'll say 90% of our churches out there in America have plenty of funding. I don't get it. Well, that's the way it is. Anyways, we're going to go to the book of Jude, because Jude had a message for these type of people you see back here. As phony as their faces are, or as you know, happy as they look, they are phonies. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Oh my gosh, he's judging them. How dare he? That you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What is he talking about? He says, I was going to write you some simple letter about salvation, but something came up where now it's needful for me to write to rebuke you and tell you and warn you to start earnestly contending for the faith and stay away from apostasy. What was delivered unto the saints? Well, you read about it in Revelation, the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not just this Christ within. Does the Holy Spirit live within us? Does it guide us? Yes. But not contrary to his word. That's a lying spirit that does that. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, meant they stealthily came into the churches, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what this is saying here? Jude was warning us. The half-brother of Jesus Christ was warning us of ungodly people who turn, what do? They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That means into sexual, perverted misconduct. Just like these people are doing here. In other words, they're saying, well, Jesus' grace is for everybody. So he loves you, he just accepts you no matter how you live. It doesn't matter. You don't have to repent. Celebrate your sin. Celebrate your lawlessness. It's all covered in the grace and love of God. We just have a loving God. These are the people we are warned from, my friends. These are the people in your pulpits, in your seminaries, in your college universities. And they deny our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. In other words, hey, the church had just got, churches were just being founded. Just like the Israelites had just been delivered out of the land of Egypt. But then they went into apostasy. And God had to destroy them for that. In other words, he's saying, look at what happened to Egypt. That's your example, churches. When God delivers you and then you turn back, get ready. And the angels which kept not their estate, we're talking about the fallen angels of Genesis 6, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Oh, how dare you say that word, judgment, Pastor Ben? Aren't you being a little judgmental? Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That's homosexuality. That even includes bestiality and other such things. Are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In other words, what he's saying here is Sodom and Gomorrah was given as an example to us today. So we'd look at those two cities and say, we don't want sexual perversion being accepted and justified and legalized in our nation because we don't want to be destroyed like they were. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. I've been reading them today. People who claim to be Christians yet are filthy dreamers who defile the flesh. They say they're spiritual. They say they have the Christ within, but they're nothing but filthy dreamers who despise dominion. What does this mean, despise dominion? And speak evil of dignities. It means they does it mean they despise a government that is anti-Christian? It's not what it's saying. They despise the commandments of God. Do you wonder why the Ten Commandments are being removed from? Do you wonder why they're being removed from our nation? Because a new religion's being built, my friends, with new morals. With new values, new preachers, and now they're going to determine who are the new heretics, and that's you and me, who stand up for the testimony, for the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. They despise the infallibility of God's word, and they speak evil of it. Well, it's not really God's word. That's just man's opinion. And those prophets didn't really have the Holy Spirit speaking through them. So all we have to do is listen to the Christ within. Go by our feelings. Accept everybody. Equality. Love wins. Hate loses. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Does not bring any bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. In other words, they say they're spiritual and all these types of things, but they're nothing but brute beasts. You know, there's such a thing as trying to be so loving and humble. Or such a thing as when you come off like that. That's actually pride. And rebellion disguised. I love everybody. When these people say, "I love everybody," who am I to deny them their rights? But you see, they're loving themselves. They don't love God. Otherwise, they'd stand up for God. They would bear their cross. They're thinking about self. How can I be accepted in the community? How can I make a living? How can I make money as a pastor? I mean, if I start teaching that we should accept homosexuals, I might really rake in the dough. I might be able to, really live a good life. I might be able to be invited to all their conferences and sit on the beach and drink some cocktails with them. This would be great, right? Well, let's see what he says here. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, for money. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah." That's what Jude says about these types of people. They're only in it for themselves. Just like Cain was. He didn't care about offering a true sacrifice to God. He didn't offer God his best. He was looking out for self. And ran greedily. Do you remember who Balaam was? He was a preacher who taught for money. Whatever pleased the people, I mean, as long as it got him money, as long as he had the big, huge football stadium to preach in, he was going to say whatever got him there. And the gainsaying, this is, of Korah, saying what people want to hear. For money, for acceptance, and for personal gain. These are frauds. And these two people are the picture of the pastors and the wives that are governing most of Christianity today. Who are you going to follow? Balaam? Jezebel? Or Almighty God? It's your choice, America. Because I will tell you this, the judgment is coming. It's written. It doesn't matter what our Supreme Court passes and says as law, there's a Supreme Court in the heavens that many people want to say doesn't exist, because we got to just throw Revelation out, right? Because you know why they say that? Because Revelation is about judgment. Enjoy your time, Balaams. Enjoy the pleasures of this life right now, because it won't be for long. It won't be for long. These are your spots in feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, and every wind of dark, whatever pleases people. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're empty. They're nothing. They have no truth in them. They only want to feed themselves. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, think about this. The reason these people have to attack the scriptures is because look at what Jude did here. He's judging those people. Not personally. He's judging the actions. He didn't say, oh, Sally's going to hell because she did this. Nope. He said, they better stop teaching that perversion and immorality and depravity and lawlessness is okay, because it's not. And it will be judged. You know, the two witnesses of Revelation, what is their message? Their message is God's judgment is coming. You better repent or else. And they're going to back it up because God's going to give them power. It's not going to be anymore, you know, just believe and be saved. Judgment is coming. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. To do what? To say, I love you. I'm so happy that you're so proud to be, to practice abominations. I'm so proud that you're gay. Is that what it says here? No, it says to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Think about all the people that mock God and accuse God of being this hateful God that just is a bigot and just wants to murder babies and stuff like that. They're going to get it. They're going to get it, and they deserve it. These are murmurers, complainers. Oh, the Bible says this and that. How do you evangelicals who believe in the Bible, the literal word of God, how dare you? These are murmurers, complainers. Complaining about what? They're complaining about the Bible. Walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Do you know, I read the article about these two people. I wish I would have posted the link. They talked about how they walked through there and lesbians and gays were shedding tears and hugging them and saying, thank you. Thank you so much for... I don't even know what to say. That's what they sought was men's. They wanted people to admire them. And they turned their back on Almighty God. Again, I'm not just pointing out these two people. These two people represent Western Christian civilization today. This is what's wrong with America. It starts right here with the pastors for selling out for their own gain, for their own advantage. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. I could just post picture after picture of these, the homosexual movement and their mockery of Christ. But I'm not going to do that today. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. All they do is think about things of the flesh. Not the Spirit, though they claim to be spiritual people, they're not spiritual. They live in the flesh. They're spiritual. They would make a stand for Christ and they would take up their cross and accept the hatred with honor. Because our Lord suffered that same hatred. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be building ourselves up, building our strength. The enemy's going to try to, that serpent is trying to take away from us our faith, our dignity, and our way of life. And we're not going to sit back and let him do it. The battle is on. The battle is on. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, it's time that Christians that actually believe in the Bible, that believe in the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, that we band together like never before in his love. Stop hiding out in your corner somewhere. Because we're partly responsible for that. We need to get together. If you got Christians that live locally to you, get a Bible study together. We need to group. We need to regroup. Instead of living every day out in this mess of confusion. And some people think, well, you know, that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a light and an example unto the world. Yes. But you're also supposed to draw strength from your brethren and your sisters, and you're supposed to give them strength by fellowship. And of some have compassion making a difference. Yeah, there are times to have compassion when somebody's hurting. Let's say there's a prostitute that's gotten down to her lowest levels. and she's looking for help. Do we go and tell her, you wicked sinner, you whore? No. That's not what we're promoting. Are there people who say they're Christians that do that? Yes, there are. And it's so bad. Or it's too bad that we have Christians like that that misrepresent Christ. That because of that, some people do the total opposite and go and do what these two have done. No, you take somebody like that and you teach them the gospel. You comfort them. You show them love. You don't say go and keep doing it, keep harming yourself and keep ruining other people's lives. No. So, yes, there is a lot of times there is a time to have compassion, but there's a time not to have compassion as well. And I'm going to show you, read that verse here. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Who does this apply to? What applies to people like this? Do you ever notice when Christ dealt with the religious community that were leading people astray? Did he sit around and have compassion on them? No, he didn't. He took a whip to them at times. He called them vipers and sons of the devil. So, in this case, I don't just say, hey, I love you too, you know, repent. No, they know better. At least they claim to know better. These types of people, if dealt with directly, you tell them the truth and you tell them what judgment's coming. Of course, I'm not telling you to go on people's pages and tell them to repent and stuff like that. But you know what I'm saying. Discretion. Use discretion. I'm not going to sit around and coddle people like this if they come to me. I'm going to tell them straight up, what you're doing is wrong. You're condoning sin in the name of Jesus Christ. And are you comfortable having to answer for that? Something of that nature. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, do not fall. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jude's scathing rebuke to Christians allowing phonies to creep into their midst to mislead people into lasciviousness, sexual immorality, and he highlighted Sodom and Gomorrah as the chief sin. That's homosexuality, that's sodomy. Anyways, this is an issue we need to deal with. We might talk more about it. We'll see. You know, because right now everybody's trying to paint us as the haters and the homosexuals as the lovers. How do we combat that? We're not going to win everybody. I know that. But we should at least come up with a good argument to explain why that is just totally bogus. Maybe we'll deal with that. We're going to see. But this is such an important issue right now that it would be foolish for us to ignore it and move on with other affairs. This is what we're dealing with, my friends. And I had never envisioned the homosexual movement back 10 years ago or so as being a catalyst for the Antichrist. I didn't see it that way. But it's being used as that. The homosexual movement is a movement, a major movement by the Antichrist to destroy our nation. And they're trying to use it to wipe out Christianity. And everything about our history and our way of life from America and from the world, they won't stop. We need to do something about it. And you know what? I should have known that this was going to be the movement. Some people say, oh, this homosexual stuff is just a sideshow. It's distracting from other things. No, it's not, my friend. This is central to what's going on in America today. This is the issue. Because Christ told us it would be when he said, in the last days, it will be like it was during the time, the days of Lot, and the days of Noah. He brought in both. And that's what's happening today. Well, hey, never back down. Never compromise the gospel. Contend for the faith so that you can be a Christian overcomer.